Okay, our goal today is to finish the Tosfos that we were in the middle of from last week, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And after that, then we really can begin the Gemara, which is a whole new world. Although I'm not sure, maybe we should save the Gemara for next week, just as it's a totally fresh start. So let's work to finish off this Tosfos. In the middle of this Tosfos, we had seen last week that Tosfos was discussing whether if somebody produces a shtar chov in Beis Din, claiming that so-and-so owes me money, and that individual, the defendant, is not present in court at the time, does Beis Din assume automatically, oh, well, he's got a shtar chov, he can collect, let him go ahead and collect? Or does Beis Din pose a claim on behalf of the defendant in his absence? Well, maybe the shtar is forged, maybe these Adam aren't really authentic. You got to prove that they're authentic before you can collect on this shtar. So Tosis had posed the theory that you do, if you are based in that is, you do argue mezuyah, perhaps the shtar is forged, because otherwise you're not going to, society won't continue to exist, because people will continuously just forge documents and collect untruthfully, falsely, from somebody else's possessions when he's not there to defend himself. Okay, Tosis then said, well, maybe, this is all recapping what we've seen in the past, well, maybe Beis Din doesn't have to claim that a shtar is mezuyah. Maybe what they will do is they will claim that it might have been paid off. Maybe it's an authentic shtar, but he paid you back already. And that's what we discussed last week. So we'll pick up now with Aval Yesh L'Hochiach. I think that's where we're up to. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines in Tosus. Is that correct? Aval Yesh L'Hochiach. So Tosus says, Aval Yesh L'Hochiach, no. I'll bring you a ironclad proof, D'Tainina L'Hu Mezuyof, that whenever somebody presents a shtar in Beis Din to collect from somebody else and the defendant is not present, I'll prove to you, says Tosus, that Beis Din does act on behalf of the defendant to claim that maybe the shtar is forged. Why? Why can't we just say Beis Din will claim maybe it's paid off? So says Tosus, Dim lo kan, because if you don't have Beis Din claiming that it might be forged, kol echad yichtob shtar mecher o shtar matana, then people might write documents of sale or documents claiming that someone gave me something as a gift. Meaning, not just loan documents, but even a document that claims that there was a sale, or a document that claims that there was a gift that was given. People can forge those documents, v'yachtim edim, they'll sign edim on it, v'yigbeh shelo b'fanav, and they will use that to collect in the absence of the defendant, miyasomim, from his orphans, umelukuchos, or from people who bought property from this defendant after the date on that document. Dahashta ein shaykh lo meparati. Because when there's a shtar mecher, a shtar matana, you can't say, oh, he paid you back. Because what does a shtar mecher, shtar matana mean? Shtar mecher, shtar matana means you produce a document saying that so-and-so sold me that field, or so-and-so gave me that item as a gift. Well, if the field is still in his possession, or that item is still his, obviously he hasn't given it to you yet. So what Tosis is saying is the following. If you want to prevent people from abusing the system, you have this concern. I might just go and write up a document on my own and forge the signatures of witnesses stating that you gave me your car as a gift, or that you sold me your vacation home somewhere. I'll walk into Beis Din, you're not around, and I'll claim, here's my document, go get me his car, go give me his property, I'm going to take possession of it. So there, what's Beis Din going to say? Well, maybe it's an authentic shtar, but maybe he paid it off already. He obviously didn't, if he still has the car, if he still has the house. So there, the only defense Beis Din can offer on behalf of someone who's not there to defend himself is to say, maybe the shtar is forged, prove that it's a valid shtar. That's the proof that Tosis has, that Beis Din will claim mezuyah on behalf of a defendant who's not there. So again, this proof again is just a svara. You know, as Tosis is saying, on the basis of svara alone, society will not function properly unless Beis Din has the authority to demand that a claimant in a plaintiff in court must authenticate his shtar before he proceeds with it to act on it, because otherwise society will not be able to function properly. Okay, is this so clear? That's Tosis's Raya. It's all based on Svar. Just get some air in here so we don't die of okay, yeah, go ahead.
The Lashon and Tosfos, just to clarify, the Hashtahin Shaya from our Parati is Mitzah because he's talking about it because it could be a Shtar Matana, or because if it's in the person's possession still,
I think it's because it's a Shtar Matana. If it's a Shtar Matana, so then. No, I think because it's a Shtar Matana, so you can't claim Parati on a Shtar Matana if I don't have the gift. A Shtar Matana is a specific item that we're dealing with. So if I don't have it and he still has it, obviously you can't say parati yet.
Civic parcel field, parcel land.
Yeah, whatever the case is, parcel. Right. Meaning a Shtar Hava, it's all cash. So if I say I gave it back, no one knows the difference. But a certain specific item that we're saying is supposed to be given as a Matana from A to B, if B doesn't have it yet, A still has it. So it's very clear that there was no giving over of the Matana here. Okay, Tosis then proceeds and says, "V'od yesh l'daktik." I'll further bring you another proof. Misof perik get pashut, from the end of perik get pashut in Bava Basra. Why? D'tainin and l'yasmi mezuyof. I'll prove to you from that Gemara that we in fact do, as based in, claim on behalf of orphans who are the defendants in the case, that maybe the shtar is forged. You have to prove that it's authentic. What's the proof? The Gemara says the following. The Amar Rav Huna says over there, Shchiv Mira Shehikdish Kol Nechasav. A Shchiv Mira who gives all of his property to Hektish. The Amar, and he says, Mone Leploni Biyadi. And he says, oh, by the way, I give everything to Hektish, but $100 of my property is really owed to somebody else. The Gemara says Naaman, he's believed to do that. What do you mean? Even though he gave everything to Hektish, he's now nevertheless believed to say, well, $100 that would otherwise go to Hektish shouldn't be going to Hektish, it should belong to this individual that I'm going to name right now. Why? So the Gemara says, Chazaka ein adam osa kenunya ala Hektish. We can assume the Gemara says, as a Chazaka, that a person will not cheat Hektish. So if he gives everything to Hektish, and he says, but $100 belongs to so-and-so, we assume that he's telling the truth. So the Gemara asks, Uparach, the Gemara asks, V'chi adam osa kenunya abanav. Well, by that logic, would a person ever think to do something that would be illegal or a trickery with regard to his own children? De Ravu Shmuel de Amri Chavayu, because Rav and Shmuel both said, Shchiv me'ra she'amar, mone leploni biyadi, Eshchiv Mira, who said that so I owe so-and-so $100, meaning he's about to die, which means that all his property is going to go to his kids. But he says, oh, but before I die and before all my property goes to my heirs, $100 belongs to so-and-so. So he's trying to keep $100 from going to his kids, essentially. So the Gemara says, do we believe him or do we not believe him? So Rav and Shmuel said, Omar Tenu, if he specifically instructs us, give it to this guy, Nosnin, you believe him, you give it to this third party. Lo Amar Tenu, if he doesn't say, give it to him, Ein Nosnin, we don't believe that he's serious, and we don't give it to him. So the Gemara's question is the following. The Gemara Bava Basra is asking, you told me that when I give all my nechasim to Hektish, but I say $100 belongs to so-and-so, I'm believed, because I wouldn't try to cheat Hektish, then why do we suspect that a person would try to cheat his own kids? Because Rav and Shmuel said that if somebody's about to die and his stuff's about to go to his kids, and he says, no, $100 belongs to Jerry Howarth over there. So the Gemara says, well, if he didn't tell us to give the money to Jerry, then we assume that he might have just been making it up. So the question is, why would you assume he's making it up? He wouldn't cheat his kids, right? Why don't you believe him? Same way when he says, don't give it to Hector, give it to Jerry, you believe him. So if he says, don't give it to my kids, give it to Jerry, why don't you believe him? Umasik and the Gemara concludes the following. The Gemara answers the following. De Rav Huna Ayri Bishtar Mekuyim. Rav Huna, who said that if he's giving everything to Hektish except for $100 that he wants to give to Jerry, you believe him. That's because there is a shtar in that there's a shtar that's already been authenticated in Beis Din, which states that this individual owes Jerry that $100. Then you believe him, of course. The Ravu Shmuel. But Rav and Shmuel, who said that you don't always believe him, that's a case where he's holding on to a document, I guess the third party is holding on to a document, which has not yet been authenticated by Beis Din through Kiyum Hashtaros, through Kiyum Hachasimos. So that's why Rav and Shmuel say it depends. Omar Tanu, if the person who's dying says, I want you to give Jerry that money, Kaimei Lashtar, that direct instruction to give it to him is essentially going to accomplish the same thing as authenticating the shtar for us, and therefore you act on it. Lo amratinu, but if he doesn't say give it to him, then lo kaimei l'shtara, then the shtar is not assumed to have been authenticated, and you can't act on his instructions. And we don't believe his statement that he owes the money to this third party. Why not? So Tosfos adds in, perish, that means Deshema shelo lehasbia esbanav amar kain. Maybe the only reason why he's saying I owe $100 to so-and-so is not because he really owes it, but he doesn't want his kids to look so rich. It's not good for, I don't know, whatever reason you might come up with, for the tax collectors. They're going to, you know, chase down these heirs to take a hefty percentage of his property.
What's so, lehasbia?
Lehasbia means to make them look fuller, to make them look... make them look much wealthier. So sometimes the Gemara says it's possible that somebody will try to downplay the amount of wealth that his sons are inheriting. He'll say, yeah, you know, maybe I owe somebody else, you know, $100, $1,000. That way it looks like his kids are not as rich as they really are. So the Gemara says that's why if the third party has a shtar which is not authenticated, so if the person who's dying says, give it to him, that's authenticating the shtar, in other words. That's saying, I really owe it to him, give it to him. If he just says, oh, by the way, I owe this guy $100 or $1,000, whatever the case might be, but he doesn't say, pay it off, then we say maybe he's just worried about not making his sons look too wealthy, so don't act on those on that comment. That's the Gemara. Okay? So now here comes Tosus' proof. So Tosus says, V'ilo tainin mezuya fliyasomim. Tosis says, one second here, if you're going to think that we don't claim on behalf of orphans who can't defend themselves that maybe the shtar is a forgery, if we're not going to claim that, mikol makom yigbe, then in this case of Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara Bava Basra, where the third party has a shtar that has not been authenticated, and the Gemara said, well, if he doesn't say, give it to him, you don't act on it, right? Because maybe he's just trying to make his sons look not as rich as they really are. Why, says Tosus? If you assume that in general, Beis Din never claims forgery on behalf of Yisomim, why can't this third party collect with that shtar that he has? To Hanukkah shtar, he has a shtar. I mean, Tosus is asking very simply the following. The Gemara Bava Basra says that a guy who's about to die says, I owe $100 to so-and-so. And that third party has a shtar which has not been mekuyam in court. It hasn't been authenticated in court yet. The Gemara says, well, if there's no kiyum yet on that shtar, and the person who's about to die has not said, give it to him, you don't assume that he gets the money. Why not? Says Tosus. He's got a shtar, he's got a shtar. Elamai, Tosus is saying, it must be the reason why he can't collect with a shtar, which is not mekuyam, if the person who's dying didn't say, give it to him, must be because, as a general policy, Beis Din will always challenge a shtar produced in court by saying, maybe it's forged. Prove that it's not. Now, that's the only way Tosfos can explain why you don't pay off the shtar, which has not yet been mekuyam. Must be that Beis Din will always claim on behalf of Yisomim, maybe your shtar is forged. Okay, so that's Tosfos' proof. We see from this Gemara Bava Basra that a fellow has a shtar which is not mekuyim, he can't collect on it if the person who died didn't say give it him the loan. It must be because, in general, we always claim on behalf of the Yisomim, maybe the shtar is forged, and until you bring kiyum hachasimus, so you're not going to collect on it. Okay, so this is Tosfos, this is proof from Gemara, that Beis Din will claim mezuyah on behalf of Yisomim. Okay, so far so good. Any questions on that raya? The logic of it? What do you think?
It's not very strong.
Why?
Because we think, how do we know for sure, you know, when he... We're making an assumption if he, if it would be a real document, that the person would have said pay him.
As the Gemara says as a statement, that if this third party has a document, right, which Beis Din has not yet authenticated. No, it says that so-and-so owes me $100, signed by two people, but we haven't authenticated the signatures yet. So the Gemara says, well, if the person in question who is now dying instructs us to pay off that loan, then we pay it off. But if he just says, oh, I owe that guy $100, we don't pay it off. Why don't you pay it off, says Tosis? The guy has a document claiming that he's owed $100, signed by witnesses. It must be, says Tosis, that whenever a guy produces a document in court that has not yet been authenticated by the court, we don't automatically accept it. We don't act on it. We challenge him to first authenticate it, to bring kiyum hachasimus. We claim to him maybe it's forged. You got to prove that it's not.
I see the logic, but yeah. I feel it's so strong.
Seems like there's a loose end, maybe.
Because yeah.
Because even with the other document that we said is a shtar mekuyam, like in that case.
Right.
So, what does it even matter if he said, oh, I owe this person
$100? Uh-huh. Meaning, the shtar on its own should speak for itself. Why only if the guy says, I owe money, you're saying?
I think we're saying if it's, once it is mekuyam, he will be getting his money.
That's true, right.
I don't understand the big distinction between him. I mean, I understand what they're saying, that I think if he says pay him, it means that's really what he means. But if he says I owe money, he doesn't really mean he owes money. Doesn't sound so.
Okay, I mean that's the Gemara. I mean, Gemara says that. That's what the Gemara says, that if he says I owe him money, but he doesn't say pay him, we assume maybe he's just saying it to make his kids look less wealthy than they really are.
Once he can prove that it's real signatures.
Unless he proves it's real signatures, right. Then he collects, obviously. Then he collects.
Wait, why are you... Why if he says to know, does that take away based on being tied for him?
That's a good question. And as if he says to know, then the Tosis is the Gemara is saying...
That we
don't tow in Mezuyev then if he says to know. Right.
Right, but I understand that now we got rid of... It's nothing
last spiel. Right. Presumably, Pshat is because once he says Tenu, that's Haldas Baldin. He's molded that he owes him the money. So any Sivara that, well, a person is just saying it to make his kids look less wealthy, that's not going to stand up if the guy explicitly says, no, I want you to give him the money. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point.
He just seems to be collecting more or less because of Haldas Baldin rather than anything else. I mean, it's possible the shtar, it could be possible that we're going to hold that you need to have a shtar mekuyam.
Yeah.
Just in any event. I mean, the fact that he's just, and the tenu, when he says tenu, that's essentially being mekayim the shtar.
I mean, the Gemara said that tenu is like kiyam, right?
So
the implication of the Gemara is that you always need a shtar mekuyam, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's Tosa's point, I think. Tosa's saying, why is it that you need a shtar mekuyam? If you don't have a shtar mekuyam, you can't collect. Why not? Obviously because we're going to be toying mezuyah. It's work?
Yeah.
Okay. So now Tosa says, last line on the page, Ve'ein lomar, and don't tell me that maybe really we're not toying mezuyah. And the reason why over there, if he doesn't say tenu, he can't collect, is the taininan parua. Don't tell me the reason why over there he can't collect if he doesn't say tenu is because we claim maybe it's paid off. Right? That's the balance Tosis I'm trying to work with here. You know, maybe Beis Din just claims it's authentic, but it's been paid off, which is a less which is a less dramatic claim than to say it's forged. I'm still saying, maybe you'll argue that no, Basin doesn't say that the shtar is forged. They just have to claim it's authentic, but it's paid off. Maybe that's why you can't collect if the shtar is not mekuyim, if the guy doesn't say tenu. Tosfos says, don't say that. Why? Zaharav Islay. Because Rav, who was one of the authors of that statement in the Gemara, where if the guy doesn't say tenu, you don't pay it off, Rav himself holds, Mo de b'shtar shekasvo ein tzarich lekaymo. Rav himself holds that if a borrower agrees that a shtar that is produced, he himself wrote, he agrees that it's authentic. So Rav says, ein tzarich lekaymo. There's no need then for the malva, for the lender, to go and prove the authenticity of the edim. Whereas once a borrower concedes that yes, I did in fact write that shtar that I owe you money and I gave it to you, there's no longer any need for the malva to go and prove the authenticity of the edim before acting on collecting from that shtar. Meaning, the Gemara Ksubas says, you can't claim, well, okay, it's a good shtar, but maybe it's paid off. Because once the lova says, Rav, concedes that he wrote the shtar, that he owed the money, and the shtar right now is in the hands of the lender, that's it. Game's over. You can't claim in court, well, yeah, you wrote it, but maybe you paid it off. Because if you paid it off, then the malva wouldn't have it anymore. When you pay off a document, when you pay off a loan, you get the proof of loan back, and you tear it up. The fact that the lender still has that proof of loan in his hands, which the lova conceded he wrote himself, is enough proof for Beis Din to collect this loan, and we don't claim, well, maybe it's paid off already.
How did the lova concede that here?
No. Oh, so, good question. This is the general sentence. Rav in general holds that if Malva confronts a lova in Beis Din and says, here's a document that you owe me money, and lova says, yes, I agree that I paid it off. I agree that I wrote it. Right? So Rav says that's all Beis Din needs to hear. Once you agree you wrote it, and the Malva still has it, you got to pay it back. You can't claim, well, maybe I paid it back already. Doesn't work. So what Tosfos is saying is that over here as well, the Rav is talking about a case where a guy's dying, and he says, I owe $100 to this guy over there, Jerry Harith, right? And Jerry's got a shtar, which has not yet been authenticated, which says that he's owed money by this guy who's dying. Right? So Tosfos is saying, the Gemara says what? The Gemara says, Rav says that if he doesn't say tenu, if the person dying doesn't say give it to him, then since the shtar is not mekuyim, you don't act on the shtar. You don't pay it back. So far so good? So Tosfos said, why don't you act on the shtar? If the guy didn't say tenu, why don't you pay it back? So Tosfos says, it can't be because Beis Din will claim that maybe it's paid off, because once the person who's the borrower, in this case the guy who's dying, concedes that he wrote the shtar, which in this case he did, he said I owe him the money, so then there's no need for kiyum anymore. So it must be, says Tosfos, the only reason why the Gemara says that you don't act on paying off this loan if he didn't say tenu, it must be because what? What's Tosfos trying to prove? Because Beis Din will claim maybe the shtar is forged.
But not the Beis Din says we tie the
Perua, right.
Perua in this case.
But how do
we see that in this case? He admitted that the shtar is good.
So apparently, Tosfos is drawing a parallel. You're right, it's a good question. Apparently, Tosfos is assuming the fact that the person who's dying said, I owe him $100.
That's good. It's for the hasbiyah, but, yeah.
There's a concession that I wrote the shtar. But that can't be, because then how come Tosfos is saying that they're going to claim mezuyah?
Right, I also think so.
Unless Tosfos is just trying to show
you pull the floor and you're, oh, I don't have them under.
Unless Tosfos is trying to show the following. Tosfos is trying to show that in general, Rav does not hold that the taina of parati, of perua, is acceptable when you have a shtar signed by witnesses. Whereas the fact that Rav says that when a lova concedes that he wrote a shtar, you can't say, yeah, but I paid it back. The fact that the malva has it is enough proof that it's not paid off. So that's an indication that Rav in general does not accept this notion of you can claim that I paid off a shtar. So here also, even though maybe like you're right, here also, even though here, like you said, there was no concession that he wrote the shtar, right? Because if there was, then Basin wouldn't be able to claim that it's forged. So you're right, here there is no concession that I wrote the shtar. But still, Tosfos is saying, we see from a case where he does concede he wrote the shtar, that Rav does not accept the notion of claim that you paid it off if the lender still has the shtar in his possession. So therefore here also, where even though the borrower did not concede he wrote the shtar, but once he concedes that he owes him money, and a shtar is produced to that effect as well, you can't claim it anymore, maybe it's paid off. But Tosfos is saying you still would have the option of claiming what? That maybe the shtar is forged. Well, it's bottom line, what's Tosfos trying to do? Tosfos is trying to say that the Gemara says in Bava Basra that if a third party has a shtar which is not Mekuyam, which says that he's owed money by this guy who just died, if the shtar is not Mekuyam, the Gemara says, and the guy who died didn't say Tanu, you don't pay off that document, that loan. Tos says, why not? Must be because you claim Mezuyof. Maybe it's forged. How do you prove that? Tos asks on himself. Maybe the claim that Basin will make there is just that it's paid off. So apparently Tos is trying to say, no, that Rav, who's the author of that statement in the Gemara, we see elsewhere, does not accept the claim of paid off when there's a shtar produced with Edom on it, even which has not been Mekuyam yet. Make sense?
I mean, so in general, you need to have Mezuyof as that backdrop according to any type of claim.
I mean, according to Rav, once you have a shtar with Edom on it,
your only way out is Mezuyof.
Is Mezuyof, right. Right. Only way out is Mezuyof, correct. Right. So in a case where the borrower concedes that he wrote it, he can't claim Mezuyof anymore. Right?
And you can't claim Parati either.
Right, so all game over.
You claim it'd be a Miku, probably.
Oh, hold on, no, but once he concedes I wrote the shtar, he can't claim Mezuyof anymore. As beforehand, he can claim Parati, he can claim Mezuyof. But once he concedes the shtar is mine, I wrote it, I gave it to you, he can't claim it's forged because he conceded he wrote it. Right? And Rav says you can't claim Paru either because the shtar is in the hands of the Malva, shows that you didn't pay it back. So here, in the case of Bava Basra, Tosfos is saying, the claim that I paid back, you can't make anymore because the guy's got a shtar in his hands. That's proof that's not paid off. The only way out is to say that it's Mezuyof, because like you said, here he didn't concede that it's my shtar. He just said I owe him money. He didn't concede I wrote that shtar. So Tosfos says it must be the only reason why in that case in Bava Basra, you don't have to pay off that loan if you didn't say Tanu, is because you have that way out of Mezuyof. Any questions? Clarifications? Well, what Tosfos is trying to prove here essentially is that when a guy produces a shtar in Basin, which has two Edom on it, and it's not authenticated, Basin will claim on behalf of the defendants who are not there, Mezuyof, that maybe it's forged. Prove that it's not forged. Okay? All right, the goal is just to get to the end of this Tosfos, and then there's a beautiful this end of this Tosfos that we'll get to. I think that will be the goal for today. Got some water still? Still a little hot. Hold on. Shut up the house. Okay. Okay, so Tosfos has now proven from the Gemara of Basra that one Beis Din will claim mezuyah against the shtar that's produced in the absence of the actual borrower. Top line, Beis Din and Beis, in Tosfos. And Torma Tosfos asks, the parak Hamad above a Metziah, in the first parak above a Metziah, Pligi Reb Meir, Birabonon, Reb Meir and the Rabbanon disagree. Bimotza shtar she'en bo achrayus. Somebody finds a loan document lying on the street, an IOU, and the shtar chov does not give the lender the right to go and collect from properties that the borrower had and then sold. Right? Shtar sheyesh bo achrayus, shtar she'en bo achrayus. That means is, you know, as if I lend you money. And you write me a document that you owe me money, so I can use that document in court to collect from any assets that you have in payment of my loan. A shtar sheyesh bo achrayus is a shtar that allows the lender not only to collect from assets that the borrower has in his possession, but even to collect from assets that the borrower used to have, land that he used to have at the time of the loan, that he later sold to somebody else. A shtar sheyesh bo achrayus gives the lender the right to go and collect from those pieces of land that was sold after the time of the loan. So here the Gemara Bava Metzia.
What's the Stam Shtar in Jewish law? Is it without a chrayus or with a chrayus?
Good question.
Must be without a chrayus.
What's that?
Must be without.
Right. Right, I think Mishnah's assume that. Right. The Mishnah's assume that Ein Bo Achrayus means that it wasn't stipulated that you can collect from real estate. Right, so the Mishnah is talking about a case where there's a shtar which does not give the malv the right to collect from real estate that was sold after the time of the loan. So you find this document on the floor. So who do you give it to? Right. The question is the following. Do we assume that the malv had dropped it, meaning it's a loan that's so far unpaid, and you give it to the malva, he'll then go and collect the loan. If you assume that the loan was paid off already, and the malva had just given this document back to the borrower, and the borrower dropped it, that means the loan has been paid off already. So who do you give it back to? It's a tough question. So the Mishnah says, "Derabbanan amri lo yachzir." The Rabbanan say, "Don't give it back." Reb Meir savar yachzir. Reb Meir says, "Give it back." Meaning to the malva. Rabbanan say you can't return it to the lender. Reb Meir says you could return it to the lender. What's going on there? Umukhi lo Shmuel. Shmuel there in the Gemara says the case in the Mishnah is the following. Kishain chayav moda. Shmuel says the case there is, you come to Beis Din, you have this document, I just found it on the street. What do I do with it? The borrower comes running in and says, don't give it back, don't give it back, don't give it back. It's a fake, it's a forgery, I never wrote it. Right? So, Reb Meir says, V'yachzir l'Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, give it back to the malve, l'tsur al pitz luchiso, just to use as a bottle stopper. Reb Meir says, shtar found in the streets, Lova claims it's a forgery, you can't collect on this shtar, give it to the guy to use as a bottle stopper. He's not going to be able to collect on this shtar. The Rabbanan, however, say, no, don't give it back, because maybe he'll come and collect with it. And that's not what he's allowed to do with it. Okay, that's the case of the Korn of Shmuel. Shmuel explains the mission to be talking about a case where the borrower denies the validity of the shtar, and the Rabbanan say, well, the borrower denies that the shtar is valid. You can't give it back to the so-called lender. He'll go and collect illegally with this shtar, which the borrower is never conceding to. So now Tosfos analyzes the case. So Tosfos v'hashto, now, l'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, amai lo yachzer, why can't you return it? What are they afraid of? There's nothing to worry about. If the lender succeeds in authenticating the signatures to prove it's a valid shtar, then you should give it back to him because it's a valid shtar. He has the right to collect. And let's say he doesn't validate the shtar. So why can't you give it back to him? What do you lose out by giving it back to him? If he can't be mekayim it, what use is it to him? He's not going to be able to collect with it anyways. So what are you so afraid of? Give it to the malva. If he's mekayim it, that means he deserves it. If he's not mekayim it, it's useless. Why? Because we just said that you'll always claim mezuyaf on a shtar that's not mekuyim. So what good is it going to do to him? So it must be, says Tosus, what are the rabbanim so worried about? Why don't they want you giving the shtar back to the malva? Elavadai, it must be, chashinim were worried, shema yotzi shlo b'fanok, maybe he'll try to collect with this shtar in the absence of the borrower. Velo neton mezuyafu. And apparently we're worried that Beis Din will not challenge the authenticity of the shtar. So Tosus now is asking on his previous proof. He's saying, it appears in this Gemara of Metzia that Beis Din will not always, as a given, challenge the authenticity of a shtar produced in Beis Din in the absence of the borrower by saying maybe it's forged. Because here we see that the Rabbanon in Bava Metzia say that if you find a shtar halva on the street, which the borrower denies as valid, you can't give it back to the lender. Why not? Apparently we're worried that he'll take the shtar, he'll run to Beis Din in the next town over, in the absence of the borrower, claim he owes him money, and act on it. And apparently, Beis Din there will not necessarily claim what? That it's a forgery. See, Sif Nisses tells us that Beis Din does not, as a general rule, claim that a shtar halva produced in Beis Din is a forgery. Yeah.
Also, why can't in this case claim perua? Because he never really had it the entire time. And the second question,
interesting.
What's the difference with Shein Bo? Why is Shein Bo Achrayis? How does that come into play? Why does it?
That's a good question. I think the Marsha. I think Nosa Kam talk about that. Yeah, I think Nosa Kam talk about that. It's a good question. Even Shtar Sheish Bo Achrayis. Chacham say you can't give it back. So why is Tosa specify Dafka Ein Bo Achrayis? That's a good question. It's a very good question. I think I saw that question quoted. I mean, the truth is, Tosa would have a Raya Lachor from either case.
Right.
So why is he specifying specifically the case where there's no Achrayis? It's a fair question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Bo Achrayis. Then the person who, let's say, the person who borrowed the money sold some land. And then someone finds the shtar, he can use the shtar to get to the other person's land.
The lender named in the document can use the shtar to get somebody else's land, right?
Yes, it's even stronger. It's not just.
But he's saying it's even worse. It's even more of a concern. You're saying, right? It's a good point. Let's see if I saw this quote from here. Hold on. I think the Marsha is somewhat sensitive to this distinction here. Marsha asks why Tosis here mentions only according to the Rabbanon. He says Tosis in other Mesechtas asks this Kasha even according to Reb Meir, who concedes that by Shtar Sheyesh Bo Achrayis he can't give it back. You see, he's sensitive to that detail of Tosis' question, but I have to go through a little more carefully just to.
So if you give back the shtar, you're taking away the claim of perua,
Look at the next line, Tosis. Next line, Tosis. Very good. So Tosis answers. V'yesh lomar. Tosis answers. Dal korchach ein hatam bishvil kach. It can't be that the reason why we're worried about giving the document back to the lender is because he'll produce it in Beis Din somewhere else, and we will not claim mezuyaf. Dakati nitzon lehu peruahu, like you just said, because you always have the perua card to prevent an illegal collection with this document.
Or even going to Rav, who said before.
He says the Shmuel, because Shmuel, who's the author of this statement here, in Bava Metzia, svirla he holds Perak Misha Meis in Bava Basra Behedja explicitly Aliyah Jeb Meir according to Meir. Shmuel says that even if you concede that you wrote a document, you still have to authenticate the witnesses before you can collect with it, because maybe it was paid off. Tosis is saying, according to Shmuel, who says that we always are worried about the possibility that a document, that a loan was paid off, so here in the Gemara of Metzia, when we're saying that according to the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to return this shtar to the lender that's named in the shtar, and Tosis asked, what are we afraid of? How can he collect with it? If he's not Mekayim the shtar, how's he going to collect? So Tosis said, well, maybe we're worried he's going to collect when you're not Mekayim the shtar, because we're not going to claim Mezuyav. Tosis says, that can't be the reason we're afraid, because even if you don't claim Mezuyav, you can always claim Parua, according to Shmuel. So either way, this question is still a question that is tough to answer, is what Tosis is saying. I don't understand why you can't return this shtar hava that you found to the lender according to the Rabbanan. Because if he's mekayim it, he can collect with it. If he's not mekayim it, then how will he be able to collect with it? Either based on the taina mezuyif or the taina perua. So why are we so afraid, according to the Rabbanan, about giving this shtar back to the lender? And Tosis says, according to Shmuel, if the borrower himself would have been alive, he would have been believed to say maybe I paid it off. Because he himself has a migu, he could have claimed that it's forged. So therefore also, if the lender produces the shtar against the orphans of the borrower, even though Beis Din might not claim Mezuyaf, if that's what you think, on behalf of the orphans, veleka migu, and they don't have that migu that they can say parua, because we could have said mezuyaf. Mikomakam, nevertheless, kevan de la avihen yesh migu, since the father, the borrower, would have been able to claim parua because of a migu, he could have said mezuyaf. Tainin lehu shapir paruahu, basically can claim parua on behalf of the yisomim as well. De kaimlam, because we paskin. Same Gemara we quoted earlier in Tosis. That a plaintiff can take an oath and collect half of what he's claiming. Gabi shtar kis, by a shtar which says I gave you $1,000, half was loan, half was deposit, I can swear that I did not receive payment for the loan part, and I can receive the loan part in return, but the pikudim part, Beis Din will claim on behalf of the orphans, maybe it was returned to you already and you can't claim that. Okay, so Tosis is saying is the following. Just to recap what we just saw now. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that if a guy finds a shtar halva on the street, according to the Rabbanan, he cannot give it back to the lender, because we're afraid he might use it even if it's not really authentic. Tosis asks, what's the concern? If the lender brings Aiden to authenticate it, and it's his right, go right ahead, it's a real shtar. If he doesn't bring Aiden to authenticate it, what are we afraid about? If he produces a shtar she'ein mekuyam in court, how's he going to collect with it? Elamai tells us a thought. The reason the Gemara is afraid about giving it back is why? Because maybe he'll go somewhere where the borrower's not around, or after the borrower dies, he'll produce this shtar she'ein mekuyam, and apparently the Gemara is afraid that he's going to collect with it, because why? Because we don't claim that it's forged. So Tosis tries to prove from this Gemara that we don't claim Mezuyaf. Tosis says that's not a valid proof. Because even if you're right that you wouldn't claim Mezuyaf, you'd still be able to claim what?
Parua.
So the Gemara shouldn't be afraid of this guy collecting with the Shtar Shana Mekuyim, because you can always claim at least Parua. And even if the borrower himself died and all that are left are his orphans, Tosis says, based on the Gemara we saw earlier in Tosis, that Beis Din will be able to claim on behalf of the orphans also. Maybe it's paid off. Because just like their father, the borrower, had a right to claim Parua, and he would have been believed because he himself had a migu that he could have claimed Mezuyaf, so then Parua becomes a winning taina in this case. And then the Yisomim also, Beis Din, have a right to claim on their behalf as well. Maybe it's paid off, and that for them is also winning taina. So anyways, Tosa says, the whole concern of the Gemara, why you can't return this shtar halva to the lender is very difficult to understand, because whether you claim mezuyah or not, you can always claim parua. So what's the Gemara worried about? How's the guy going to collect with it? So what Tosfos is saying is you can't prove from this Gemara that in general Beis Din doesn't claim mezuyah on behalf of an absent defendant, because maybe in this Gemara, whether you claim mezuyah or you don't claim mezuyah, you can always claim parua. So this Gemara is obviously different for some reason that we have to explain. Now, Dafka and this Gemara were worried about the guy collecting with a shtar she'ena mekuyam. For some reason we don't understand, because whether you claim mezuyah or not, you can always claim parua. So why are we afraid he's going to collect with it? Okay? So what Tosfos is now going to say is the following. Tosfos is trying to argue that in general, Beis Din will always claim mezuyah against a shtar that's produced in Beis Din. The reason why here in this Gemara of Metzia, we're worried the guy might collect with this shtar she'ena mekuyam is for a unique reason to that case. What's that? Here's an interesting line in Tosfos. Tosfos says, Ella hainu taima de lo yachzer. It must be, this is why over there, in that case in Bava Metzia, we're afraid about giving the shtar back to the lender. Meaning really, in general, we'll always claim mezuyah when a shtar halva is produced in Beis Din. Dafka here, there's something different that we're worried about. That maybe the lender will collect with this shtar she'ena mekuyam. Why? Kevan de isra benefiloso, since this shtar has been brought under suspicion, it's now viewed as defective, so to speak, because it was lost. Vilova toy mezuyefu, and the lova claims it's forged. Therefore, ein ligvos min hadin, you're not allowed to collect with it. Afilu yimtza ede kiyum, even if the lender is successful in being mekayim the shtar. Why? Shema ziyufei zayef v'chasim. Maybe he did a really good forgery job. Listen to this. It's unbelievable. What is he saying? He's saying, this case, we're worried that if you give the shtar back to the malva, even if he brings the edim themselves to say, yes, this is our signature, you still can't collect with it. Why? Maybe he forged it so well that the edim themselves are fooled. They think it's their signature, and it's really not their signature. And I quote an example. Kehid get pashat, like the Gemara Bava Basra, which says, da'anach yodei azanuka, that a certain forgery master, you know, put his hands on a shaky bridge and used that method to forge an older man's shaky handwriting. The Gemara there says that a shtar was produced with a certain Amora's signature on it, and the Amora in question saw the document and said, yeah, that's my signature. But I know for sure that I never signed a document with this other aid here. And the Gemara said they did investigations, and they found out that the so-called lender here was such a forgery master that he was able to forge this Amora's signature so well that he fooled the man himself. Right? Like if I were to forge my, you know, an older man's signature, the Gemara says that he did it by putting his hands on a shaky bridge, so that his hands were shaking as he signed it, and such a perfect forgery that the guy himself didn't realize that it wasn't his signature. So here's what Tosfos is saying. This is a tremendous chiddush. Tosfos is saying that the reason why in that Gemara you find a shtar halva on the street, you can't give it back to the malva. And Tosfos asked, why not? If he's mekayim the shtar, why can't he collect with it? It's a good shtar. The Edom themselves said, this is our signature. So Tosfos is saying no. Because here, when there's a shtar that was lost, the fact that it was lost makes us suspicious. Ordinarily, a guy has an IOU for, or he owes me, you know, $1,000 document. You take care of it, right? If I have a shtar halva, which is my only proof in the world that this guy owes me $10,000, I'm not going to carry it hanging out in my back pocket. I'm going to put it away, lock it up in a safe. The fact that this $10,000 loan document was found lying on the streets makes us automatically suspicious that what? That's forged. So much so that even if the lender named in the document will bring the witnesses to say to us, we signed this document, it's our signature, we don't trust it. Maybe it was a master forgery that even the people themselves are fooled and think it's their own signature, and really it's not their own signature.
Just because it was lost?
Yeah, lost, and the fact that the borrower claims it's a forgery. The two together, this tells us. The fact that it was lost, combined with the fact that the borrower claims it's a forgery, makes us suspicious of the shtar to such an extent that we don't allow you to give it back to the lender, because we're afraid that that even if he's successful in bringing the item to say that it's our signatures, maybe it's still a forgery.
Is it different from someone just forging a document and coming to Beis Din? Was that?
What do you mean? That what?
I'm saying it's the fact that it was lost, or presumably lost.
No, in general, when a guy brings a document to Beis Din, and he brings the item just to say, yeah, this is our signatures, we recognize our signatures, we assume it's a valid shtar. Right? And even if the borrower claims it's a forgery, if a guy walks in with a document in his hand and says that he owes me $1,000, and he brings the item themselves to say, yes, this is our signatures, we believe him. But here, the fact that the borrower claims it's a forgery and the shtar was lost makes us suspicious to such an extent that we won't believe him, even if he brings the aid and say this is our signatures. But hold on, because look at the next line in Tosis. Tosis then says, Aval, Ileka Lova Kamon. What happens if the borrower is not here at the time of the debate in Beis Din? Vahamalva Motza Edekium. And the Malva brings the aid to say this is our signature. Machzirim Lo, then we give him back the shtar. Vihadar Osi Lova Vitoin Mazuyafu. If the Lova later comes and says it's a forgery, Nira, it seems, says Tosus, to su lo mehemen, we don't believe the lova anymore. Kevan de huchzak beheter, because the shtar was already established as valid. So let's figure this out. This is very fascinating. The case is, a shtar was lost. A shtar hava was lost. Right? So Tosus says the following. I find a shtar hava on the street that you owe him. I come into base and say, rabbis, what do I do with this thing? Who do I give it to? Borrower, lender. What do I do with it? So Tosus says, if the so-called borrower comes into Beis Din screaming it's a forgery, you can't give it back to the lender. Because even if the lender will succeed in finding the aid in themselves, say this is our signatures, the shtar is lost, we're suspicious. Borrower claims it's a forgery, we're suspicious. We're so suspicious we won't even accept the shtar if later he brings aid and say this is our signatures. But, says Tosis, in the exact same case, where the shtar was lost, I find it. I come into Beis Din. Beis Din, what do I do with this? The Malva comes running in. Here are the witnesses who say they signed it. And the borrower is not there to say anything. Then I will give it to the Malva. And even if the borrower shows up a day later and says, it's a forgery, too late, you missed the boat. So, how does it make sense? If he's there before you give it back to the Malva, claiming it's a forgery, he claims forgery, shtar was lost, you can't give it back to the Malva, even if the Malva brings Ada and Kiyam later. But if the 80 kiyum are brought first, and then the lova a day later says forgery, too late. What do you mean too late? He's claiming it's forgery. The shtar was lost. What difference does it make if the forgery claim was made before the 80 kiyum were brought, or after the 80 kiyum were brought? And that's the difficult distosis here. How does it make that split? Yeah?
So perhaps you can answer that it's not a din of who's believed, who's not believed. It's a din of how Beis Din is supposed to carry out themselves. When they have this claimant in front of them and no other parties and this and so forth,
right.
They only have the Malva in front of them and he brings the Adim and the Shtarlos and no one else is claiming counter to that.
Right.
Then Beis Din is instructed, okay, in such a situation, since there's no one claiming Mizuyif on the other side, you give it back.
Right.
But when you have two counterparties in such a situation, and now it's falling on the Beis Din to decide, well, who do we believe? We don't believe, you know, we don't believe the Adim. We believe the Lova the Malva. Now Adim cannot be the one to empower the Malva. We go so far to even say, well, maybe you're a professional forger.
That's very good. But the question is the following: if the reason why we don't believe the Edikium is because there's a reyesa in the shtar that it was lost.
Right.
So that reyesa exists whether the lova claims mezuyah before or after the edikim show up. So why is, you know, even if the edikim come first.
It's not a reyesa. It's not really, I'm saying, it's not really a reyesa.
Yeah, what is it?
Now Beis Din has to decide who are they going to, it's a different type of a judgment. It's they need to say you're right or you're right. They have to decide
who to give it to.
Who to give it to.
So what does Tosfos when he says is a reyus of the fact that I fell? What does that mean? You're on the right track. But what's Tosfos mean that's a reyus on the star? If it's a reyus on the star has that reyus even after the Eidikim come, before the Loba says Mezuyev.
The reyus that you don't have the star in your hand, I'm not sure.
Maybe that's just contested.
The what?
The fact that he showed up in Beis Din.
Yeah.
Totally contested. We just say forget it. Whereas if it's not contested at
right.
this point in time.
Right. So the question, it's true. The question though is if the reason why when the Lova claims it's forged, we believe him and we don't accept Eidikim is because the Shtar was lost and that makes the Shtar a suspect. So then,
combined with the potential for an excellent forging job, right?
Right. So
and
then,
the loaf is here. It's like the fact pattern is just much worse.
Right. So the question is, but what happens if the star is lost? The Malva brings Eidikim, and then the loaf comes and says it's forgery.
Too late.
It's too late, right? But why don't we say the fact that the star was lost makes the star suspect? Makes it.
That alone is only one piece of it. The loaf being there defending it.
Because he lost the opportunity.
But if the Lova, if the Lova isn't there, he only finds out about it a day later, so it shouldn't
right.
necessarily be anything against him.
When he's not there, we won't be nervous as much. It's an enhanced level of nervousness if he's there.
I guess the question is, if our enhanced level of nervousness is that the borrower claims it's forged,
it could be an excellent forging job, and the Lova is here.
Right, but if the fact that the Lova claims is forged and it was lost is enough to overcome two Adam claim this is our signature, mm-hmm. So why does the order make such a difference?
Right.
Or is even a day or two later,
right.
Even if the Adam come first and say this is our signature, and then the borrower comes a day later and says it's forged, bottom line is you still have a star that was lost, you still have a borrower claiming it was forged, so why shouldn't that combination overcome the two Adam?
Because once the Adam they sucked in. They said, okay,
yep.
Now you have it.
Right.
Because there was no one here. This,
right.
This is what's in front of them. And they'll give it to the Malva.
And once it gets to the Malva, what happens?
The din is set.
Din is set. And therefore what?
I think maybe we're saying that, first we said, who do we give it to? If it's the person who somehow repaid the loan, he would have lost it. He would have gone to Beis Din and said, this is mine. I paid it off. But because he didn't come and claim it, we assume that we believe the lender because nobody came. I'm saying there's an additional thing, maybe it was paid off, right? We said originally when it's found.
Well, here we're just saying that the Lobos claim is forged. He's not claiming it was paid off. That's what his claim is eventually.
Right.
So I'll tell you what Shmuel Rozovsky says, Pshat Nistosis is. There's long lines of what you're saying. Shmuel Rozovsky has two suggestions to say Pshat Nistosos. The first, he quotes from the Brisker Rav. Well, the Brisker Rav didn't say Pshat Nistosos, but the Brisker Rav said Pshat in a Rambam, which Shmuel Rozovsky then applies to Nistosos as well. And the svar of the Brisker Rav is the following. That when a shtar is lost, which makes it then suspect, maybe it's a forgery, maybe it's not an authentic shtar. That reyus which Tosis is talking about, says Shmuel Rozovsky, based in the Brisker Rav, is not a reyus in the shtar itself, but rather, as Baruch was saying before, when the shtar is brought to Beis Din, there's a shaila in Dine Hashavas Aveda. Who do they give it to? Bauer, lender. Who do you give it to? So with regard to the dinim of Hashavas Aveda, the fact that the shtar had been lost is an indication to Beis Din they shouldn't be so quick to give it back to the lender. Because if it's lost, that makes us suspect maybe it doesn't really belong to the lender as far as dinim Hashavas Aveda are concerned. But if Beis Din already gave it back to the lender because he brought Eidikim right away, and then a day later, the borrower shows up and claims it's forged, so then the fact that the lender has the shtar already, there's no defect in the shtar itself. As far as the ability of the lender to collect with this shtar, that's still intact. The only issue that was called into question as a result of the shtar being lost was who does Beis Din give it to? But once that question is decided, that's what you were saying. Once that question is decided, for example, in the case where the Lova isn't here, and the Malva comes in and brings in a Dekium, Beis Din decides, okay, give it back to the Malva, that question is off the table. The shtar is a perfect shtar. A day later, the guy shows up and says it's forged. You can't do that to a perfect shtar. What he's saying is that the whole suspicion that's cast on the shtar because it was lost is only suspicion that relates to the question of who Beis Din returns the shtar to as far as Dini Hashavas Aveda go. So if the borrower is here today claiming it's forgery and the shtar has been lost, so as far as Dini Hashavas Aveda go, Beis Din will not give it back to the Malva even if he brings Eidei Kiyum. But if the shtar is in Beis Din and the Lova is not here, and the question is who do they give it back to, and the shtar is lost, okay, that's the question, the shtar is lost, but the Malva succeeds in bringing Eidei Kiyum in, so then Beis Din has the right to say, okay, as far as Shavas Aveda goes, yes, we had a suspicion because the shtar was lost, but if he brings Eidei Kiyum, we have a right to give it back to him. Once you give it back to him, the shtar itself, the integrity of the shtar itself, as far as its ability to be used to collect a loan, that was never affected. So once Beis Din decides the question of who do we give it back to, and they gave it to the Malva because he had Eidei Kiyum, then the Lova shows up and says, forgery? No, that's too late now. That question of Shavas Aveda was decided already. The shtar itself, its integrity itself, was never in question. That's how he works. Like you were saying, Baruch, that the Isra, the reis on the shtar, is only a reis with regard to who you give it back to. But once you decide that question, the integrity of the shtar itself, as far as Dinei Mamonos is concerned, is not affected. Similar. Close. Does that make sense?
I mean, but even so, yeah? The ultimate Dinei Mamonos, Shavas Aveda, has a large impact on the din of the actual Dinei Mamonos that comes afterwards.
True. So that's why the fact that there's a reis on the shtar, you know, is enough of a question that we don't want to automatically give back to the Malva because there's a possibility that maybe he'll use it to collect illegally. But if he brings an Eidei Kiyum first, so that relieves us of that concern, we can give it back to him as far as the Shavas Aveda goes.
I know
Shavas Aveda is not going to be impacted by the fact that maybe the Lova will claim Mizuyif tomorrow. Shavas Aveda is here and now. Here and now, there was suspicion, shtar was lost. Okay, here's Eidei Kiyum. That relieves the suspicion. Give it back to him. Alright, so Shavas Aveda is being decided right here, right now. Who do you give it to? Malva, Lova. So, Reisa, it was lost. Maybe I shouldn't give it to the Malva. But he has Eidei Kiyum. You give it back to him. Tomorrow, the guy shows up and says, Mizuyif. Okay, my dear sir, Shavas Aveda decided yesterday. Now you're claiming Mizuyif. You can't claim Mizuyif to prevent a authenticated shtar from being used to collect money from you.
Doesn't this, in a certain sense, go against what Tosfos was saying before that we're tanya in the mizuyah? Because if according to Tosfos, we're talking mizuyah.
So, very good. So what Tosfos is saying, the bottom line is that tanya in the mizuyah is what Beis Din will always do when a shtar she'ena mekuyam is produced if it had not been lost. But once a shtar has been lost and it's ena mekuyam, right?
Okay.
Then we're not going to give it back to the malva unless he brings Eidei Kiyum first. And even then, only if the Lova himself has not claimed Mizuyif yet. Once the Lova himself claims Mizuyif.
So if there was a regular shtar out there that, if the Lova brought a shtar that was not Mekuyim at all.
Malva brings the shtar was not Mekuyim at all.
Malva brought one, it wasn't.
In general, Beis Din will claim Mizuyif. Right. Only here, where the shtar had been lost, we don't claim Mizuyif because there's this added suspicion on the shtar. So Beis Din doesn't get involved in claiming Mizuyif.
They need to claim Mizuyif.
Well, they won't get involved. Meaning, if the Lova claims Mizuyif, then he wins. If he doesn't claim Mizuyif, and the guy brings Eidei Kiyum, then we will give it back to him, so this is the same. So I guess the same way as... Right, meaning Beis Din will give it back to the Malva because it was lost until he brings Eidei Kiyum. I guess the same effect as if they claim Mizuyif, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. I guess based on Mukhem Mizuyif then. It's the same way as saying based on Mukhem Mizuyif then, I guess. Okay, so it's somewhat clear. Now, the bottom line is Tosis is concluded by saying that in general, a shtar shen mukhem is produced in Beistin. Beistin will claim maybe it's Mizuyif. In the case of the shtar halva was lost, and then someone finds it and comes to Beistin, so Beistin will not give it back to the malva until he brings kiyum, eda kiyum. But if the lov himself claimed Mizuyif, they won't give it back to the malva even if he does bring eda kiyum. And the way Shmuel Zofsky explained it, based on the Brisker Rav, was that the fact that the shtar was lost raises concern with regard to the Dini Hashava Saveda. Maybe we shouldn't give it back to the Malva. The Malva then brings Ede Kiyum that relieves us of that concern. We give it back to him, and now it's a perfectly good shtar, no matter what the Lova does afterwards. But if the Lova initially claimed Mizuyif, then Midini Hashava Saveda, combined with the fact that there was a raise on the shtar because it was lost, we're not going to give it back to the Malva, even if he does succeed in finding 8A Qum. Okay? All right. Took longer than I thought. I guess that's why we're not doing the next part of the Gemara. I apologize that I didn't get any more detailed Mara Makomas out beforehand, but I guess we didn't need to because it's just a stosis. For next week, we'll go ahead with the Gemara. And a couple of tosis in here to look at as well, which will... Next Tosis, perhaps the Tosis Dasyu Beit Shrei as well. I think those two, maybe what we'll focus on. Okay, thank you all for the coming. I apologize for the late conclusion.